Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. Today is podcast number 79, Spooky Stuff. I'm George Taylor. Last week's podcast was quite an adventure, wasn't it? If you didn't hear it, we were hijacked by a pirate, so be sure and take a listen. So this time and this week, I want to take the time to make sure you know what is and isn't available now for you from the Narration by George Library of Great Audiobooks. Well, we've had a lot of activity and with lots of new books coming out almost right on top of each other, and there's still one more due out in about a week or so. More on that in a minute. So what is out now? Well, first of all, the first release most recently is the exciting and most interesting full-length science fiction epic from the pen of Michael Miller. Second Earth, M104, is the story of a scientific genius, Dr. Bruce Thompson, who makes an epic voyage to another planet, M104. This planet is a home to two species. One is very much like some of Earth's early dwellers. The other is a genetic mix of man and reptile. This latter himself is a scientific genius, but is also a megalomaniacal killer intent on the destruction of Earth. There are samples of this book in previous podcasts. I encourage you to go back and look at them there, as well as more samples on my website for the book. You can find it by going there at narrationbygeorge.com/books. Click on the icon for the book to find out more, including links for downloading this exciting book. So, just in time for Halloween, here I have produced a quartet of Regina Puckett's short horror stories. Now, as you may know, I started out by producing Regina's romance novels, Concealed in My Heart and Songs That I Whisper. So now she's doing horror stories? Yep. I asked her about those genres that she writes in when I interviewed her back in March. Here's what she had to say.
And I started out writing romance, and I guess that's what I enjoyed the most. But a couple of years ago, my oldest daughter likes to go ghost hunting. And mm-hmm. So she was telling me some tales about her adventures out in these deserted, like, hospitals and stuff. And I thought, you know, that'd make a great story. I know when I was a kid, we would sit around making up ghost stories. And I thought, well, I don't know why I can't do that.
Okay.
I wanted to try my hand at it, and I found that I enjoyed it.
And can she ever write a scary story? Whew, she obviously relishes the genre, and I think you will too. As I've said, I produced four of these tales for her. Three of them are available now, so let's take some samples and take some time and sample these books. The first one is a tale which has been out for a little while. It's called Slimmer. Sandy's new boyfriend is on her back about how much weight she has gained. He offers her a miracle diet pill. You did what? Shh! Donald turned and looked around the room, even though he knew there was only he and Richard scheduled to work in the lab that day. Richard copied him, and he too looked around. He lowered his voice. Are you crazy? We're still only in the beginning stages of testing for those diet pills. You have no idea what kind of side effects they might have. They've never been tested on humans before. You could lose your job, or worse, go to prison. Donald leaned back against the counter and eyed Richard. Who's going to ever know? I know you'll never tell. Richard pulled at the collar of his lab coat. What makes you so certain? Because you don't want me telling anyone about the little synthetic cocaine lab you have set up over there. You would be in that prison cell right next to me. Beads of sweat broke out across Richard's top lip. I don't understand why you want Sandy to take those pills anyway. She's beautiful. Donald grinned. All I need in a girlfriend is someone who looks good on my arm and knows when to keep her mouth shut. I hate fat chicks. Sandy had better stay thin, or she's out. When this diet pill hits the market, we'll be rich and famous. She needs to keep her looks up if she wants to be a part of my success, or I'll replace her. with a new, better model. Sandy hated to admit it, but Donald's diet pill was working much better than she ever expected it would. Well, almost. It did give her tons of energy, but she was still starving to death. Earlier at lunch, she had run out to her favorite donut shop and bought a dozen. The plan had been to split them with her co-workers, but on the way back, she stopped on a park bench to relax, and when she grabbed the box to return to work, she discovered it was empty. It was horrifying to think she had eaten an entire dozen donuts all by herself, so she threw the box into the nearest trash can to get rid of the evidence. Even though she had eaten more than she had planned to, she felt wonderful. Her energy levels were off the scale. Since consuming the donuts, she had been up those stairs 5 times to the 12th floor without even becoming winded. Surely, after all that exercise, she would have walked off such a high-fat, sugar-loaded lunch. Knowing Donald would be watching every bite she put into her mouth at dinner, she stopped at a hamburger joint a few blocks from their apartment building and grabbed a light snack before heading home. A twinge of guilt nagged at her as she let herself into the apartment, because her snack had consisted of a triple cheeseburger, large fries, and a Coke. But even after eating all that, her stomach was still grumbling about being empty. She hoped Donald wasn't home yet, so she could grab another quick snack out of the refrigerator. What he didn't know wouldn't hurt him. "Donald, you home?" She threw her purse on the sofa and listened for any sounds of him. Nothing. She made a mad dash to the kitchen and looked through what food they had in the house. Since they had been busy the last weekend, getting the apartment arranged to their satisfaction, they hadn't taken the time to go grocery shopping, so choices were limited. The only thing that didn't need cooking were 2 slices of bread, a jar of mayo, and 1 of pickles. Never in 1,000,000 years would she ever have thought of making a snack out of those ingredients. But before she even thought about what she was doing, she grabbed it all up and made a mayo and pickle sandwich. Just as she was putting the last bite of the sandwich in her mouth, she heard keys being placed into the front door. She chewed as fast as she could as she looked around to make certain she hadn't left any evidence. Satisfied there weren't any crumbs on the counter, she poured a glass of water and washed the taste of pickles and mayo out of her mouth. The last thing she needed was Donald to kiss her and figure out what she had been doing in the kitchen. One reviewer said that Slimmer felt like a Twilight Zone episode with a great twist ending. Our next story by Regina Puckett is called Do You Want to Play a Game? This story lent itself to full sound effects in producing, so when you download and listen to this one, you might want to keep the lights on. It seemed fitting that Pete was telling one of his corny jokes. Even though it didn't make any sense, Sherry still laughed as if it were the best joke she had ever heard. Sitting next to him, their feet dangling off the side of the porch, it was such a peaceful and perfect moment. But all at once he stopped in mid-sentence. With a deadly serious expression, he grabbed her arm. Staring over her shoulder, he whispered, "They're coming." He met her eyes again, and his look of horror sent a shiver down her spine. Before Sherry could ask who was coming, Pete disappeared, and a bone-wearying coldness settled over her like a heavy mist. Without waking, she pulled the bedspread under her chin and held onto it with both hands clenched into tight fists. From out of nowhere, strange murmurings came from every direction. The eerie sound sent a shudder through her tense muscles. At first, the murmurings were just gibberish. But as she strained to understand what was being said, one voice rose above the others. The voice was childish, but with a creepy, sly undertone. "We're here to play. Do you still want to play with us?"
That question was followed by a high-pitched giggle that darted around the room like a double-edged sword. Sherry quivered and turned her head away, trying to avoid the evil-sounding taunt. When she did, the muttering stopped, but they left an odd vibration in the air. Still fast asleep, she pulled the bedspread over her head in an attempt to stop the weird tingling on her face and neck. She had no sooner done this when hundreds of icy fingers began caressing her legs and feet. Her first reaction was to curl into a fetal position, but that only brought the icy fingers closer to her face. When they began pulling at her hair and trying to pry her lips apart, she sat straight up in bed, immediately wide awake.
Wonder what's going on there. You just gotta listen. Regina called my production of this tale scary. Our next book was released just last week. Payback is Jeremy's story, which, like Do You Want to Play a Game, is produced with full sound effects. Jeremy thinks he's late for school, but is he? He goes downstairs and finds his grandmother there. In spite of feeling like his head was going to explode, Jeremy padded down the hallway and downstairs toward the kitchen. He stopped every third step to listen for the sounds of anyone else being at home. By the time he reached the living room, he was almost certain no one was. But when he pushed through the swinging kitchen doors, his grandmother lowered a newspaper and smiled.
"Good morning, Jeremy."
He let the doors swing closed behind him before answering.
"Hey, Granny."
She motioned for him to join her at the table.
"You look tired, dear. Sit and chat with me for a little while."
Jeremy scanned the kitchen. "Did Mom ask you to talk to me?" Instead of answering right away, his grandmother took a sip from a dainty white teacup, one decorated with pink roses. Only after putting it back on its matching saucer did she once again motion for him to sit in the chair next to her. Sensing she wasn't going to answer until he did, he dragged his sock-shod feet across the red brick-colored tile floor. He loved her too much to let her see his usual sulky expression, the one he saved for the rest of the world. It wasn't her fault that being 17 was the pits, and his junior year at school had been the worst one of his entire life. Despite keeping his expression neutral, his crossed arms spoke volumes.
"Your father asked me to help you understand what happened this morning."
Jeremy studied her kind, wrinkled face and tried to make some sense out of that softly spoken but cryptic statement. Since her return stare was so intense, he focused on a loose piece of skin on his thumb. He stuck it in his mouth and gnawed at it until he felt the annoying piece of skin on his tongue. He almost spit it on the floor, but thought his grandmother might find that disgusting, so swallowed it instead. Still sensing her penetrating stare, he finally shrugged.
"So I guess that means I'm in trouble then, right?"
"I'm afraid so. If only you had talked to someone first, dear, this might have all been prevented."
He met her eyes again.
"What?"
She reached over and patted his hand.
"Why didn't you tell your parents your classmates were giving you a hard time at school? They would have done everything within their power to help you."
"You really think so?"
"I told Mom the other day, but she just told me I wasn't trying hard enough to make new friends. How many times over the years has Dad told me to suck it up and handle it like a man? No matter how bad things get, it has to be handled like a man. I could be standing in front of Dad, holding up a detached arm, bleeding all over the floor, and he would say, 'Handle it like a man, son.' So I've been trying to handle this thing at school like a real man would."
He'd sat back, and the two of them stared at each other in silence. The only sound in the kitchen was the clock over the stove clicking. There was an explosion and a bright flash before Jeremy's eyes. He leaned forward and clutched the sides of his head. A groan slipped out, but then, as soon as the pain came, it stopped. When he lifted his head, his grandmother was sipping her tea as if nothing had happened.
She sat the teacup back on the table and folded her hands in her lap.
"It will pass."
A strange, unsettling feeling washed over him. Something wasn't right. He stood and looked around the kitchen. The refrigerator door was open, and a container of milk was on the floor, surrounded by a white puddle. The stove-eye was still on, and the sink was filled with dirty dishes. It was so unlike his mother to leave the kitchen in such a mess.
"What's wrong, dear?"
The intense pain returned. He sat and cradled his head. Scenes of blood spewing everywhere and the sounds of gun blasts flashed in and out. When they stopped, he grabbed his grandmother's hand.
"Something bad has happened. Why can't I remember?"
She curled her cold, thin fingers around his. A sad smile played on her lips, and concern laced her voice.
"What do you remember about this morning?"
"What's there to remember? I've only been awake a few minutes. I woke up, came downstairs, and now here I am, talking to you."
She squeezed his fingers.
"Try harder."
"What?"
She released his hand and picked up the teacup again. Her voice took on a firmer tone.
"Before? What happened before?"
Before? So what did happen before? A reviewer said this story's ending was a shocker. Imagine that. Regina said my production scared her and made her cry as well. Finally, I've just completed production of Crying Through Plastic Eyes. What do you get when you put a messy divorce, a room filled with creepy dolls, and a 6-year-old together? Just listen as destiny is awakened in the middle of the night.
She turned the covers to her own bed down and slid under them. She fell asleep almost as soon as her head hit the pillow. It didn't feel as if she had been in bed very long when a sound woke her up. She glanced over at the clock radio, and it read a little after midnight. She turned onto her other side and snuggled under the covers deeper, thinking that she must have been hearing things. She had just gotten comfortable when she heard whispering. Thinking that Sassy had disturbed Chrissy because she needed to go outside, Destiny got up and headed toward Chrissy's room. She stopped in her own bedroom doorway, though, and looked at Chrissy's closed door. She never closed her door, because she wanted to be able to hear Chrissy if she ever called out and needed anything. Since she had just woken up and her brain cells weren't snapping and burning like they should have been, she decided that she must have closed it without thinking when she had left her daughter's room earlier. Assuming that was the answer, Destiny grabbed the handle, turned it, and quietly opened the door. For a moment, she stopped in her tracks upon entering the room, because for a brief moment there appeared to be a shadow on the wall that looked as if someone was bending over the bed, hovering over Chrissy. But the longer she stared, the less it appeared to be a person, and more like large shadows casted from the moving moon's and star's lampshade on Chrissy's nightlight. Even after reaching that conclusion, it took a moment for Destiny's heart to stop hammering against her eardrums. She stood just inside of Chrissy's room and tried to determine what it was about the room that was still bothering her. It took her a moment to realize that Sassy wasn't lying across Chrissy's legs anymore, and the doll was now tucked under the covers with Chrissy. Had Chrissy woken up and realized the doll wasn't with her? That was it. Of course that was it. But where was Sassy? Destiny turned and left Chrissy's room and went in search of the terrier. She searched each and every room again, just as she had earlier, but the dog was nowhere to be found. Going on a hunch, she went to the back door and opened it. There was Sassy, shivering on the doormat. She whined as soon as she saw Destiny, came over and sniffed her ankles. After sniffing for a long time, she finally licked one of them and then sat on Destiny's foot. Destiny shut and locked the door again before picking up Sassy and cradling her in the crook of her arm.
"What is going on? Did Chrissy put you outside? I thought she was too afraid of the dark to go through the house without me."
She pulled Sassy up so they were eye to eye.
"Did you have to go potty? You should have come and gotten me up. You know Chrissy isn't supposed to unlock these doors at night. What if there had been a prowler out here? You could have gotten both of you hurt, killed, or worse.
After the stern lecture, Sassy licked the end of Destiny's nose and whimpered. Destiny tugged the terrier in close to her breast and sighed,
"There's no point in trying to sweet-talk me now. I have to get up early to take Chrissy to school before I go to work. If I have to get up again, you're going to be in big trouble."
Sassy sighed and laid her chin on the swell of Destiny's breast.
"We'll talk about this tomorrow. Chrissy has some explaining to do herself."
Destiny headed back to Chrissy's room with the full intention of putting Sassy back onto Chrissy's bed. But Destiny stopped short when she saw Chrissy's door was closed again. Sassy's head popped up, and she began to growl.
"Hush! If you wake up Chrissy, you're going to be in big trouble. Since it doesn't look like you're going to behave, I'm going to put you back in my bathroom. I'll let you out in the morning, but I can't take any chance you might wake up Chrissy right now."
Destiny carried Sassy to her bathroom, put her on the floor, and shut the door. She then walked back to her daughter's room and opened the door. When she first opened the door, it sounded as if there was someone in the bed whispering, so she carefully tiptoed over and looked at Chrissy. She certainly had all of the appearances of being sound asleep. Her little mouth was partially open, and her face had that peaceful expression of a child who was dead to the world. Destiny looked at her for a moment before deciding she had imagined the shadow on the wall, the closed door, and the whispering. There was no doubt there was nothing wrong in the room or with her daughter. It was just time to go back to bed and back to sleep.
What's with the door and the shadows? The reviewer said that you might want to sleep with the lights on. This book is just completed and will be available in about the next week or 10 days. So check all these books out. You can find links to them on my website. It's narrationbygeorge.com/books or on the podcast website. That's narrationbygeorge.com/podcast. Each is available free with a 30-day trial of audible.com, or you can download them for just a minimal charge since they're all short-length books. So there's your quartet of spooky tales, all short, all to the point, and guaranteed to make you turn the lights on, all the lights on, in your house, if you're spooked by such a thing. Check them out. Let me know what you think. Your reviews for these stories are always welcome on the Audible or iTunes websites, or you can communicate directly with me. I'm on Facebook, where I'm known as Narration by George. Be sure to like the page, by the way. At Twitter, I'm at @NarrationByGeo. Follow me there. Or send me an email. I'm george@narrationbygeorge.com. All run together. That's our time for this week's podcast. Remember, we will be new again on next Wednesday, and you can check us out then. I encourage you to do that. Do so. Tell your friends about us. Check out some of these great audiobooks. And in the meantime, God has blessed you. Share that blessing with someone else. See you next week.